He first loved us, gave his life for us so that we could have this wonderful eternal life and have confidence in God, have assurance of our faith. It's just truly a blessing to know that we're on our way to heaven, that our sins are forgiven. It truly is a great blessing. We're going to take our Bibles together. We're going to turn to the book of Psalms, and then we're going to find the second Psalm together. We are continuing our series on being still and knowing that He is God, leaving the matter with God, trusting in Him, as we began this series. And we're going to look at together tonight being still and knowing that God is sovereign. Being still and knowing that God is sovereign. And Psalm chapter 2 is where we'll be. We'll begin our reading in verse number 1. It's a familiar passage of Scripture. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in heaven, in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said it unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." We're going to look at being still and knowing that God is sovereign. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us as we look at Your Word. And Lord, I pray You would give us understanding, direction. I pray that You would calm our hearts and our minds. And may You be glorified. May You be glorified in your reading of Your Word, the study of Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would be lifted up in these times. Lord, I pray that You would help me, give me the words to say. I pray that You'd be glorified in our time together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, Psalm chapter 2, it shows the Lord in heaven looking down upon mankind. And as He observes from heaven, He sees, as the Scripture says, He sees the heathen raging, people with empty imaginations, kings at war, kings in rebellion. And we notice the response of the Lord in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says that God shall laugh. He shall laugh and have them in derision. Now, why is this? Well, it is because God is sovereign. And God sees and God knows the beginning from the end. In Psalm chapter 2, we notice that man proposes, but God disposes. Now, when we talk about the sovereignty of God, we are talking about the fact that God exercises His supremacy. It is the absolute manner in which all things have been assigned to their respective place. The Bible tells us that God is in control. Now, there is no attribute of God more comforting than the attribute of God's sovereignty. Now, you think about this for just a moment. Under the most oppressing circumstances, in the most severe trials, we know that sovereignty has ordained affliction. We know that sovereignty overrules them. And we know that sovereignty will have the final say. In 1 Peter, Peter is writing to some troubled Christians. And Peter reminds them that God is ultimately under control. It may seem like Caesar is ruling. It may seem like Caesar is the one in control. But Peter reminds them that they can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because God is sovereign. God is in control. And we thank God He's on the throne. He is high and lifted up. He is our sovereign God. Be still and know that I am sovereign. Let me give you some thoughts to encourage you this evening. Number one, I want us to consider that God's will is sovereign. God's will is sovereign. You know, our God has a plan for time and eternity. And God's plan, or God's sovereign will, is over the nations of our world. I mean, the Bible says in this scripture that the kings of the earth make their plans. In verse 2, the Bible says the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. The rulers of the world make their decisions against the Lord. And the Bible says against the Lord's anointed, or against the Lord Jesus Christ. This expression here, anointing, was a title that was used for a prophet, for a priest, or for a king. And yet we see that this title, that Jesus Christ fulfills all three of these offices in one person. He is king, he is priest, and he is prophet. And yet the Bible says that these kings of the earth, they make their plans. They come together in their council. They push forward their policies and politics. Most of the time, not according to the Word of God. And yet, friend, listen to me. We should not be surprised by this. In fact, the Bible says that God is not surprised by this. In fact, He says in the Scripture that He will have them in derision. God knows the beginning and the end. We see in the Scripture that God has a sovereign will over the nations of our world. But also we see that these kings of the earth make their plans, but God has appointed His king. Look what the Scripture says in our text, verse number 6. The Bible says, "Yet I have set my king, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10, the Scripture says, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times to things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." You know, our world today is filled with prime ministers and presidents and rulers and dictators. But make no mistake, friend, there is only one king. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says here in the Scripture that He has a sovereign will over the nations of our world, but we see this sovereign will over all men. God's sovereign will is a reality over all of our lives. If you have your Bible there, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want us to see a passage of Scripture as David gives a prayer of thanksgiving for the temple of God and the work of gathering all of those materials and looking to the Lord for the building of this holy place, we notice what David had to say in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. Notice what the Bible says. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, and thou reignest over all, And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. I hope you understand that from God comes riches and honor. That's what the Bible says. Listen, no country or people has blessing outside of God. No country or people has any kind of blessing outside of God. Our country has great wealth. Our country has great prosperity. And I want to remind you that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. You know, it's important in your life to build the foundation of your life on something that cannot be threatened, something that cannot be taken away. And a majority of our world has built their life upon wealth and health. And with COVID-19, both of those are being threatened. And a lot of people don't know what to do with their lives. They're beside themselves because it's like everything they've known is taken away. But I want to remind you that our foundation must be built upon the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our opportunities are because of God. He reigns over all. In His hand is power and might. The Bible says that He makes great. He makes and gives strength. I heard the story of a basketball player, Larry Bird. He was doing an interview one time, and they were asking him about his offensive skills and his offensive ability. And he said this in a quote. He says, "When I'm hot, even Jesus couldn't guard me." And yet I want to remind you tonight that the very reason why he has the ability to play basketball is because God gave him that ability. God gave him that opportunity. People say, "Well, I shouldn't have to tithe 10% to God. I mean, I worked hard for that money. That's my money." Wait a minute. Listen to me. Who gave you the ability? Who gave you the strength to be able to do what you can do? The reality is, without God's blessing, you would have nothing. And we find in the Bible the sovereign will of God in our daily lives and God's sovereign will over nations. Number two, not only His will is sovereign, but we also notice in the Bible that His works are sovereign. His works are sovereign. We consider the work at the very beginning. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The creation of God, the sovereign work of God, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says, For by Him, that's the Lord Jesus, were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Listen, if this world was created by an accident, if this world accidentally came into being, then we would have not a sovereign God. But He created this world with His power and with His might. In fact, Acts chapter 17, verse 24 says, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord," He is sovereign, He is King of heaven and earth. Our sovereign God has created everything that we enjoy in our world. His works are sovereign. But not only do we see the very beginning and the creation of God, but we see the acts of God throughout human history. Even in the history of the Old Testament, in the Bible, and through the history of the children of Israel, we see the sovereign work of God. I mean, think for a moment, if we could, when God parted the Red Sea. As God was delivering His children from Pharaoh, the Bible says in Exodus 14, verse 21, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land. And God's people walked across the Red Sea on dry land. The sovereign work of God. Think about God causing the sun to stand still, or sending food to Elijah. Think about Daniel in the lion's den when God caused or closed the lion's mouth to be closed. I mean, we're talking about the sovereign working of God. The walls of Jericho falling down. Goliath being defeated. Time and time and time again, we see God at work. We see God's sovereign ability being performed. But not only in the life of the children of Israel, we also see the sovereign work of God in our world today through, we would say, terrible events. I'm talking about earthquakes and tornadoes. I'm talking about hurricanes. I'm talking about pandemics. The pandemic in 1920, influenza, to the pandemic in 2008. And you're probably very familiar with the pandemic of 2020 and all that we're going through today. But God is sovereign in all of those events that are taking place in our world today. The tornadoes and the hurricanes and the floods. God is at work. In fact, in Nahum chapter 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says this: the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Now notice this expression here, listen to me. The Lord hath His way, the Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. God never moves without a purpose or a plan. And God has a purpose, His sovereign work. God has a plan and a purpose in all that He allows upon this earth. The Bible says it this way in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is putting together a wonderful puzzle in life, and all of these pieces are coming together in God's sovereign plan. And one piece, it may not be good, and it may bring pain, and it may bring suffering. But God is saying all of these pieces placed together in My plan, they all work together for good because I'm a sovereign God and I have a purpose and I have a plan. God has a sovereign will. God has wonderful sovereign works. But I want us to think about, if we could, thirdly, and I'll be done this message. I want us to think God's way of salvation is sovereign. His will is sovereign. His works are sovereign. But His way of salvation is sovereign. God has established a way whereby all humanity might have their sins forgiven and a home in heaven. And friend, that way is through Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus Christ. Our text here in Psalm 2, verse 12, the Bible says, blessed are they all that put their trust in Him. Kiss the Son, the Bible says. Put your faith and trust in Him, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. This is exclusive. Jesus didn't say, I am a way. Jesus didn't say, I am a truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man can come to My Father except they come through Me. Jesus told the multitude, I am the door. I am the way. I am the door. He is the good shepherd. In an interview, Madonna was on 60 Minutes, and in this interview, they were talking about social issues, and then they started to talk about religion. And Madonna, in this interview, she said this. She said, I can disagree with doctrines and still celebrate them. She said, I go to the synagogue and I study Hinduism. In the end, all paths lead to God. I want you to understand this, friend. That is the furthest from the truth. The only path that leads to God the Father is His Son, Jesus Christ. The only way that you can have eternal life, it's not through religion, it's not through good works, it's not through sacraments or traditions or anything this world has to offer. The only way to get to God is through Christ. He is the door. He is the truth. He is the way. Listen, if all pathways of religion led to God, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did Jesus commission His disciples to preach the gospel, commission His church to preach the gospel to the world? It is because Jesus is the only way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. If you're in the habit of marking in your Bible, would you underline that expression, we must be saved? Acts chapter 4, verse 12. We call this divine necessities. Divine necessities. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He said, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, except ye are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God, a divine necessity. And the Bible says there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That wonderful name of Jesus that washes away our sins and makes us clean. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14 puts it this way. The Bible says, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. I'm talking about the Lamb of God who shed His blood for all people, for the world. This one offering is the answer to our sin debt. Jesus told the Pharisees, you must believe that I am He in John chapter 6, or ye will die in your sins. A 12-year-old boy accidentally killed one of his family's geese by throwing a stone, figuring his parents would notice if one of the geese out of 24 was gone. He decided to bury it. His sister said, I saw what you did. If you don't wash the dishes for me for a whole month, then I'm going to tell Mom. And the boy said, you know what? You can do your own dishes. His sister insisted, well, I'm going to tell Mom. The boy said, I already told her and she forgave me. I'm free. And I'm glad today that we are free in Jesus Christ. Satan may accuse us and say, you've got to do more. It can't be that easy. It can't just be that one offering. There has to be more. You got to be a part of a church. You got to be a good person. I'm glad my salvation is not up to me. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. You see, the Bible teaches us that we have this wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ. And this salvation is a free choice. Trusting is a choice. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For whosoever, there's the free choice. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me should not abide in darkness. Whosoever. That wonderful choice that we have to choose the Lord. God in His sovereignty created us with a free will. His will is sovereign. His works are sovereign. And His way of salvation is sovereign. Now sometimes we wonder about God and the way He works. We begin to think that we know better than He does. especially when it comes to God's working in other people's lives and it not kind of meeting up to the standard that we would expect. After all, I mean, it's obvious to us that they would surely change or make different choices if this happened or that happened. And yet, when you read the Bible, you read about Rebecca and you read about Rahab, each faced these kinds of challenges and responded in different ways. Their choices can help us to realize more of God's sovereignty and His ability to make His plan happen and to increase our trust in Him. Because friend, listen to me. Jesus is God. He is King of Kings. And He is Lord of Lords. And we can trust Him today with our life. This is a thought here. If God wrote us a letter about His work and His way in the lives of people, it would be something like this. It would be, "My precious child, I am in control. I am sovereign. I am able to make things happen the way I want them to go. Yes, I do allow you to make your own choices. And I know you don't fully understand how these ideas can operate side by side. But I'm able to work within and around the choices you make to cause my ultimate purposes to succeed." You see, there are a group of people, let me just say this, there's a group of people who believe that God is so small that in order for Him to be sovereign in all things, He has to control the wills of people. This is not in the Bible. Our God is bigger than that. He says, "For this you must trust me. Ask me about your choices and plans. My wisdom is yours, if you'll ask. Just look at my son's death and resurrection. His enemies thought they were acting on their own, yet while their choices revealed who they truly were, I made sure my words given to my prophets came true. I want you to cooperate with my plans. When the people around you do not do that, be assured I am still in control. I will fulfill my plan. Their choices are their own, but I am still in control. Trust me. I will use it for your good. Lovingly, your Heavenly Father, the King." We can trust the Lord today. He is a sovereign God, and His will is sovereign. His works are sovereign, and His way of salvation is sovereign. And we can trust Him day by day. Look to Him for the pathway in which to walk, and to know, to be assured of, to have confidence knowing He is in control. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You so much for all You've done. We're grateful for Your power. We're grateful for who You are.